I want to show you my shirt. You guys like it? It's One Request 1002. It's from Luke 10:2. I hope you've heard a movement that we're trying to start in salt companies across the state and hopefully across the nation and hopefully across the globe. And it's called the 1002 Prayer. And so we've made these shirts 1002, and it says Salt Network in the back. And Jesus only made one request of us as believers, that we would pray. And in all of the Gospels, it's in John chapter 4 and Matthew 9:38 and then Luke 10:02 and 10:02, and we thought that's just the easiest to remember. He told his disciples, lift up your heads and see that the fields are white unto harvest. And he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. And one of the prayers that I pray every day at 10:02 is that God would raise up laborers into the harvest. And so my prayer today at 10:02 would be that God would raise up laborers from here to go to the ends of the earth to spread the gospel to those who don't know it yet. So here's the deal I'm going to make with you. Get out your phone, if you have one. You didn't bring it? You guys are the coolest. You really are. You really are. So when you put your hands on your phone, do you know students who were surveyed in this country today said the one thing they could not live without is this? Can you believe that? No, I'm serious. So when you get your phone, get to your alarm, set your alarm for 10:02. You can set it for 10:02 in the morning, you can set it for 10:02 at night. Or you can set it for 10:02 in the morning and 10:02 at night. And when that alarm goes off, obey Jesus. Okay? I'm telling you, my alarm goes off every day at 10:02. And every day at 10:02, I pray for laborers because I want to obey Jesus. If he only asks us to pray for one thing, we should pray for that one thing. And so often, I will just say, Jesus, yes, I know it's not about what we're doing, it's about what you're doing. And so I pray that you would send laborers into the harvest. And sometimes I do that when I'm with somebody that I don't know. And they go, what? And then I have an opportunity to share the gospel. So if you will set your alarm, okay, here's the deal. If you will set your alarm and agree to pray with me for laborers, these shirts cost us $9.90 because we double do them. Ba-bow, ba-bow, right? So, and then you tell me what shirt size you need, okay? I will make sure that Iowa City Salt and Des Moines Area Salt gets 1002 shirts, and Salt Network will donate $10 to your salt company, okay? But we're going to use your money, okay? So, you understand how that works? Okay? You're going to get the shirt at our cost, $10, and you're going to agree to give the $10 to Salt Company, and we don't get the shirt money, okay? So we're going to use you to give money to your salt company, and you get a $10 shirt for $10. Deal? So, but if you don't set your alarm, know that God sees whether or not you're keeping your commitment. And you will stand before the Judge Almighty, and he will say, what? One thing I asked you to pray about, and you couldn't get that done? You just wanted a cool shirt? So, anyway, so do it. If you have a Bible, you can look at it with me. We're going to look at just a couple verses in 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy is one of my favorite books in the Bible because it was a book that Paul wrote when he was at the end of his journey. 1st and 2nd Timothy were two of the last books that he wrote. And he was writing to a next generation leader. And he was calling that next generation leader to give all of his life for the sake of the gospel. And he was saying, that's what I did. I'm so glad that I did that. And I want to call you to do the same thing. And so at the end of this apostle's life, this man who had been radically changed by the gospel, he writes these words in 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, and it's going to be the theme of our talk this morning. He said, the aim of our charge, some translations say the goal of our instruction, all of our instruction is love. Now we know that. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And the evidence that you do that is you actually love people. John said, how can you say that you love God who you don't see if you don't love people who you see every day? And so the outworking of the Christian faith is not more knowledge about God, not more understanding about the Word of God, but actually a greater love for all people and a greater love for the people who are unlovely to us, because all people are equally lovely to God, right? So the goal of our instruction is love. Paul writes this to Timothy. He says, but it just doesn't happen naturally. It comes from somewhere. And so he's going to give us some clues as to what that is. Love that issues or flows from, and then he gives three things, a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Is that me?
Yeah,
well, obviously me. I'm the only one talking. So a pure heart, the way that you get a pure heart is you actually confess your sin to God and you confess your sin to each other. We were talking about that last night. And you'll begin to have a clean heart because all of this sin will be out of that. Well, then the second thing we're going to be talking about this morning is a good conscience. What does it mean to have a good conscience? And then we'll talk a little bit about a sincere faith. Now, skip over to verse 18. You can read all the verses in between there. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm just trying to, I only have so much time here. So he says, this charge, Timothy, the goal is love, to walk with God, to live with him for the rest of your life. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, my son, in accordance with the prophecies that were previously made about you, that by them you will wage the good warfare, fight the fight of faith. What he's saying is, it's not easy to walk with Jesus. It wasn't for him, it won't be for you. And here's the reason. We are not like him. Have you discovered that? We love him and we're drawn to him. But then when we get close to him and we say, my Savior and my God. And he says, really? And we say, yes, I worship you. And he says, okay, here's what I want you to do. And you go, oh, crap, I ain't doing that. Because he's different than us. If you hang out with me, we're going to have some fun. If you like what I do. Some of you won't. Some of you would be afraid of things that I do. For example, I'm driving around with Mark Arendt. You guys know him? Godly guy. Every time I talk to him, he's quoting verses. And I think, man, dude, are you reading a Bible? You have a Bible in your pocket and you're just whipping it out? And quoting verses, seeing eagles, and prophesying, whatever. So anyway, dreaming dreams. I tell him all the time, be glad that I don't guide my spiritual walk with the dreams that I have, because I am a vivid dreamer and nothing looks good in there. So I'm there, and I'm with Drew Stevenson. You guys know him? Equally cool guy. I used to call him, when he was working at Iowa State, my MMA fighter when it comes to Bible teaching. You guys watch MMA? It's horrible that you do that. That's brutal. Those guys are killers. I love it. I have to watch it when my wife's in bed or at work, and I TiVo it. So because she thinks I'm a bad Christian because I like to watch that. But I've seen verses on some of those guys, so they're fighting for Jesus for sure. That's horrible. It's horrible. But most of those guys who can really beat you up, you would never know it from looking at them. Have you okay, if you don't watch MMA, we'll go to the Outdoor Channel next, and I'll give an illustration to you. Okay, so, but they hit with such precise angles. And Drew Stevenson's the kind of guy who can take a passage of the Bible that I've taught 100 times, and I can sit and listen to him teach the Bible, and he will say and see what's obvious in the text that I had never said or seen. And I hate that. The young guys do that. So I'm with these two guys in my truck. We're driving in a field, which I like to do, and I got my Salt Network license plate that I bought with the DNR giant buck sticker on it. I just love it. I took pictures of it. I show people. And there's a raccoon that walks out into the field, and we had stopped the truck. And at this point, I fixate with ADD. I have a mental illness. It's called hyper-focused. In other words, I'm easily distracted by something that I will give my full attention to until that happens. That's why I like to catch wild stuff with my hands, and if I can't do it, I will focus on it until I get it done. So last year, I caught my first deer with my hands. So that was awesome. So that takes a lot of time and a lot of work and a lot of patience. Okay. And my wife said, are we done with this now? And I thought, no, now I got to get a buck. But anyway, back to the story. So this raccoon walks out in the field, and I immediately think, I could catch that. And so they're just like, wah, 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 wah. And I'm focused on this raccoon. And then they saw the raccoon. And he was going to walk, and he needed to walk. My estimation in my brain was he needed to walk about another 60 yards. And if he walked that 60 yards, then I could gun my truck and get behind him in the woods. And if I get him in the open fields, I got him. Because I am faster than a raccoon. Their legs are like that long, you know. So, wah, 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 wah. He goes about 20 yards, stops, and looks at me. And now I know I'm busted. I am so busted. So I thought, go, go, go. You know, and we hop this ravine, and he runs in the wood. And I went, ah, crap. Didn't get that chance. But you can catch raccoons, by the way. I'll show you how to do it. Anyway. How did I get there? I'll tell you how I got there. Jesus is not like me. You remember that point? We're different. If you hang out with me, we'll have fun. But you won't probably do the things that I'll do. In fact, you'll say, that's dumb. Don't do that. That's what my wife says all the time. You know, don't do that. Back to our verse. Fight or wage the good warfare. Fight the fight of faith. Holding faith and, underline that word again, good conscience. Because some have rejected this and made shipwreck of their faith. And here's some of their names. Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. What? So, Timothy, the goal of our instruction is love. It comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And you have to fight in order to be able to love like Jesus loved and to walk with God and to do what he calls you to do because he's so different than we are. And if you decide to hold on to your sin rather than confess it and forsake it, if you decide to hold on to bitterness rather than forgive those people who've hurt you, if you decide not to have what we're talking about this morning, a good conscience, what's going to happen to you at the end of the road, no matter how fired up you are for Jesus today, no matter how much you want to serve him with your life, no matter how inspired you might get at this retreat or the next one, no matter how much you may say, yes, Lord, your journey's going to be short. And your faith is going to crash on the rocks. One of the saddest verses in all the Bible is when Paul said about Demas, a young man who helped him plant the church, Demas, having loved this present world, has left me. We don't have time for me to tell you all the stories of the Demases in my life. But let me tell you one. His name was Stephen Bush. My father called him the burning bush because every time he opened up his mouth, it was almost like the Spirit of God fell on people who heard him preach. We were both teenagers, and we were excited about our faith, and we were both memorizing the scripture right and left, and we were trying to shape the next generation of the church, and so we became really good friends, and we would stay up sometimes all night long talking about the scriptures because there was just nobody I knew that could interact with me and nobody that he knew that could interact with him about the things of God, and we just wanted to talk, and we wanted to pray, and we wanted to cry, and we wanted to hold each other accountable to memorizing scripture, and this guy was brilliant. I was not. And so his goal was to memorize the entire New Testament by the time that he was 25. And I sat and listened to him quote books of the Bible. And when he preached, he would interject his words between the scripture that he would quote. And he got elevated, and he was preaching to thousands at a time. He was so excited about his faith that at one point in his journey, he went over to Amsterdam to plant a church. Amsterdam is European Vegas, right? I mean, it's horrible. Place needs a church. Came back shipwrecked. You know what he does now? He sells insurance in Florida, divorced his wife because he was pursuing women, married a new wife, and he totally, totally rejects the gospel. Guy who hired me, left the faith to pursue his love, another man. Last I talked to him, he was on his sixth love. Left the faith. You think it won't happen to you? How many of you right now would say, Pastor Troy, here's what I want to be the story of my life. I sucked. Tell my story, Pastor Troy. Tell them about when I was in leadership. Tell them about how I led my peers to Christ. Tell them about how I was on fire for Jesus. And then tell them the story about when I no longer gave a flying rip about the gospel. How many of you want that to be your story? I sucked. So here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to look at Paul's words here. And he was saying, Timothy, don't suck. Satan wants to destroy your life. And if you want to hide your sin, just know what's coming. If you want to not forgive those who've hurt you, just know what's coming. And if you don't pursue a good conscience, a clear conscience, guess what's coming? So what is a good conscience? Here's what it is. Jesus will never ask you to be perfect. And so since you're not perfect, here's what you're going to do. Sin. When you sin, you got to confess that sin and you got to forsake that sin. And in order to get away from that sin, you got to be good at confessing sin. Always. The real stuff. Not just, oh, I sinned today. I didn't pray and read my Bible at 10:02. You know, we don't care. The real stuff. There was a period of time last year that I didn't have Twitter on my phone. You know why? Because there's crap on Twitter and I didn't know about it. And I pushed that stupid button and pornography appeared on my phone. And so I went, got rid of it. But then you know what happened? I started being tempted because I knew that there's stuff on Twitter that I could look at that I shouldn't. So you know what I had to do? I had to delete Twitter from my phone. And I had to tell the elders who were wanting me to tweet stuff, I don't tweet anymore. By God's grace, I can tweet again. So, you know if I don't tweet anymore. You know why? Because I would rather not be able to do this job. I would rather want to be fired than to lose the relationship that I have with Jesus. And he will walk with me as long as I obey him. And here's what Jesus will ask you to do. I'll confess your sin, not only to me, but to one another. And if you sin against somebody else, you have to ask their forgiveness. Jesus said, you've heard been said, you know, you're presenting your gift at the altar. And he said, if there you're presenting your gift at the altar and remember that someone has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go be reconciled with your brother. And then come and present your gift to the altar. Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, you know, your gatherings do more harm than good. Because you're getting drunk in church. Imagine that. They weren't Baptist, right? Oh, you know, you're gluttons at church. He says, some of you are getting sick because you're taking communion in the wrong way, and some of you are even dying. Oh, I would love to live in a church where if people did something from the wrong motive, they had dropped down dead. Ananias and Sapphira, have you heard that? They paraded their giving because they thought they were giving such a large gift that everyone would elevate them. And they gave that large gift and dropped down dead because they lied. My dad used to pray for me. And it's good when dad prays for you. You know, don't you like it when people pray for you? And then anytime I hear my name in prayer, it's sweet. But my dad used to pray for me. I told you he was crazy, and he is crazy. He's a godly guy. You should have him do a retreat sometime and rock your world. But he used to pray in my presence, God, I would rather my children be dead than to ever bring dishonor to your name. And you know what I used to think? I'm going to die. First time I ever did drugs, I was so high, I started freaking out, and I was paranoid, and I was telling my friends, take me to the hospital, tell them everything, because I thought, I'm about to die, God's going to hear my dad's prayer. So anyway, thank God. I pray that prayer for myself now. I'd rather be dead than an illustration in some pastor's story, right? So here's what you're going to have to do. Every person that you've ever sinned against, you got to make that right. You have to go to them. You have to confess your sin to them. And you have to ask for their forgiveness. Thank God you're young. You know how I started? Sherry Lawrence. First girl I ever violated. Made that list. Quick shop. First Adam I ever stole. Made that list. Every test I ever cheated on. Everything that I had ever done that the Holy Spirit reminded me of, and I made a gigantic 3-legal-page list of things I needed to go back to and seek people's forgiveness so that I could have a clear conscience. Guys, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. One of the things that I was doing is I was beginning to preach, and I was thinking, oh my God, how could I ever stand in front of an audience? And one of my former girlfriends comes in, and I just envisioned Steve standing up, and she'd say, I know him! I went on a date with him! BS! Let me tell you what he's like in the car. Let me tell you what he will say. Let me tell you what he will do. Crazy. I was drunk at a party in high school. Really drunk. Went to a car with a girl that I didn't even know her name, but she knew me, and she was also drunk. And it was in that moment that I yielded my virginity to her. And boasted about it. My daughter led her daughter to Christ. So she tells her daughter, oh yeah, I dated him. Guys, we never dated. I dated him in high school. My daughter comes home. Hey, my friend, who wasn't a believer yet, you dated her mom in high school. But you know what? I didn't care. You know why? She was on the list. And we had a conversation, and I was able to say to her, what I did was wrong. And I regret that moment more than you can possibly know. And I sinned against God, and I sinned against you. Will you forgive me? She said, yes. She can say whatever she wants about the story. And I can say whatever I want about the story. Because you know what? Yes, it was awkward when she came to our house for dinner. But my wife knew too, right? Imagine my high school principal when I walked into his office. With a check for everything that I had vandalized and stolen from the high school and my high school diploma. And I said to him, my sophomore and junior year at Ames High, the majority of tests that I took, I had already stolen and seen before, and I cheated on every one of them. I did not earn this degree. So I want to stop going to college, and I want to come back to high school, and I want to pass these classes right. And you never caught me, but to the best of my knowledge, this is what will cover what I stole and vandalized in this place. He said, "Whoa, I never had anybody do this before. I'm going to have to talk to your teachers." So we met 2 weeks later. He had talked to all my teachers, and he said, "Hey, you learned more. I don't know who taught you, but what you learn in high school is not near as big a deal as what you're learning right now. You don't have to come back to high school." Worked in a lumberyard for 4 years. You know what you do when you work in a lumberyard? You steal stuff from the lumberyard. That's what you do. You know why they don't pay you enough? First tape measure I ever stole, it was a whoops. I didn't even do it on purpose. But before long, if you were a friend of mine, you could have a tape measure because I could whoops one all the time. Imagine me sitting down with the owner of the lumberyard, best of my knowledge, biggest check I'd ever wrote. To pay back what I'd stolen. And I could tell you story after story after story. Thank God I was young. And you know the regret that I have now? One girl, Lisa Napolitana. Couldn't find her. The people that I vandalized and stole things from, hurt them. Oh, you think it wasn't hard talking to my parents? And here's what's true. Only a few of you will do it. It's hard. It hurts. Every time you do it, guess what? You stop stealing. You stop lying. You stop fornicating. You stop cheating. You stop blaming somebody else or justifying whatever it is, the flip that you want to do, because you've decided to love somebody other than you more than you. The goal is love. Love for God. And here's how that's reflected. Will you do what he asks you to do? Or do you just want him to use his almighty God power to make your life great so you can have your best life now? That is crap upon crap. You do not come to God to get a God who will serve you. You come to God to meet a God who will demand that you serve him or destroy your life. Took me years to get my conscience clean. But every time I did it, every time I had that conversation, only a handful of them went poorly. I had to work more so I could get more money to pay off my debts that people didn't even know I had. I felt free. And I felt safe. And I began to care less and less about what others thought of me. And I discovered some things about Jesus. He likes me. Even in all my craziness. And the Bible talks about we can get our souls so seared with sin that we have a hard heart and a seared conscience. And I don't have that. And so I just try to do this. I try to do what he asked me to do. He bugs me all the time. Gets me to do things that I wouldn't do. When I was Salt Company director, I'll close with this story. I am still not the most sensitive guy in the world. And I want to be more. I'm just, I think God has made me the way that I am because sometimes you just get it. You got to go, you know. And my daughters would say, hey, don't ever cry around him because that's like putting blood in the water. And then you understand that's predator talk. You put blood in the water, they come and get it, right? And so they would always fight to not cry because then I knew, oh, I got your emotions going. If I get your emotions going, I maybe can get you to do some things you would normally do that would be right things. Not to take advantage of their emotions, but to, you know, walk them through some stuff, you know. And I love fighting. And I never was a good fighter. Look at me. Come on. So, but when I was in elementary school, what I would look forward to is fighting after school in the park. And even if I lost, it was just, and I know that's weird. I'm confessing that there's some weird things about my life. But I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this last story. I love to hunt. And you can get caught up in it, and it's just dumb. But you can. It's fun, but it's dumb. If you don't get it, I get why you don't get it. But those of us who get it, just let us do it. So my friend who I'd been hunting with for, at that time, about 20 years, owned a lot of property, and he owned property all around this one particular property, and this one little four-acre piece was very strategic to our hunt. But we called her the old lady because she wouldn't let us hunt her property. And we actually wouldn't ever kill anything on her property. We'd just push all the stuff she was taken care of on her property and kill it on his, right? You know, so for several years, what I had done is took off my Blaze Orange and got below what she could see from her house vantage point and walked her property. And we killed her deer. And then my son turned 11. He liked to hunt. Took him hunting. It's my job to trespass. So I take out my orange, stuff it in my pouch. And my son said, Dad, why are you doing that? So I lied. He took off his orange, and we trespassed together. That was on Sunday. We hunted until Wednesday. And here's what I said 10,000 times. I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. To God. And here's what it seemed like he was saying to me. Well, yes, you will. You will if you don't confess to your son and go talk to the old lady. So Wednesday night, after my son had been hunting with me for 5 days, dead little dude, I remember, overwhelmed with emotion, waking him up from his bed, asking him to come into the laundry room. And I was so overcome with emotion that I just collapsed to the floor. And imagine this little 11-year-old dude looking at his dad, weeping on the floor, and he's going, what? You know, I was sleeping. Am I in trouble? You know, it's like. And when I was able to capture my emotions, I told him, I've never lied to you before. And I don't want to have a relationship with you that's based on anything but trust. And I was so caught up in this stupid thing that I've been doing for so long that it didn't even bug me anymore. Thank you. Will you forgive me for lying to you? This is what I was doing. And it was a life-changing moment for him too. And then guess what happened? The old woman gave us permission to hunt. And never would have not. Who was the fool? I love saying to my kids, have I ever lied to you? And when they get older, they say, yeah. Because you lie to people. Who are you in relationship with you haven't lied to? But then I love to follow up the question where, have I ever lied to you and not confessed it to you? Or have I ever sinned against you and not come to you? And what they'll say is, no. And is that because I'm a good guy? No. Ask anybody who really knows me. It's because there's a really good guy that lives inside of me that I've learned to listen to. And I don't want to be shipwrecked. I want to make it to the end of the journey. Can I pray with you guys? Lord, we want to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And your word teaches us that we cannot if we don't have a clear conscience. And our conscience have been so violated and seared and hardened that sometimes we don't even know when we're sinning anymore because we're just so accustomed to doing things that are dishonoring to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom to choose to get a clean conscience. That we would experience the life that we have in you to the full. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.